6 weeks ago, we began our journey of Lent, the journey to the cross and the empty tomb, and we started out, Dave Eskoff was here, and he gave you a little bit of a summary of what he's doing in his Sunday morning Bible study, especially studying the Passover. And so I told him at the time, Dave, if you do a good job, I'll have you back. So, either that or... No, it's that. He has done a wonderful job, not only with his teaching, but also in sharing this message. So we brought him back today on Palm Sunday to help us tie together the prophecies of the Old Testament with the fulfillment of the New, and also this whole idea of Passover and what it means to us today. And he has, of course, a very special perspective, having grown up in a household in which the Passover was celebrated regularly, and now being a Christian and a member here at Emmanuel to share what the Lord's Supper also means to him today. So let's once again give Dave a warm round of applause and welcome.
Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. How do you like my new Kohl's outfit? Got the Kohl's cash and everything, right? So Palm Sunday is an extremely special day for me. 17 years ago, 1999, I was baptized on Palm Sunday, actually here at the church. How they grow up so quickly, huh? So the cool thing for me about Palm Sunday and Passion Week is that many of the things that I learned from what I'm about to share with you were very, very huge in terms of my transformation and believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So you'll learn a little bit about that. But the one takeaway that I want you to think about is that, if nothing else, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff thrown around. Hopefully we could sort this out. But the one major takeaway is that hopefully you'll gain a little bit further appreciation for the taking of communion, which is the New Testament Passover. So I titled my talk, Palm Sunday, Why All the Excitement, right? So to give some context, we start with the fact that, you know, the streets of Jerusalem were just filled to capacity on Palm Sunday with the Jews cheering Jesus in the town. The Jews were incredibly excited as, you know, Jesus was in his third year of ministry. And after 1,500 years of waiting and anticipating, the Jews believed that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah at that point. In fact, they were yelling in the streets, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna being the Hebrew word for save now. To the Son of David is a messianic title. So in essence, they were shouting, save now, Messiah. What gave the Jews reason to believe that Jesus was the Messiah at this point? Well, they had played witness to his ministry, and they had seen the many miracles that he performed, from raising people from the dead, healing the sick, curing the blind, and really, more importantly, simply preaching the Old Testament scriptures in a divine fashion. At this point in time, the Jews were absolutely mesmerized with Jesus. The irony is that 5 days later, after Palm Sunday, this all-time high acceptance rating that existed amongst the Jews for Jesus turned to rejection. So what happened? Well, 6 weeks ago when I visited with you, I told you about the fact that I'm a Messianic Jew, which again is just a fancy term for a Jew that believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So you can imagine, as the token Jew of the church, I get asked a lot of questions, right? The most commonly asked question that I get asked, as you might guess, is why don't the Jews believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And to best understand the answer to that question, you first have to understand what the Jews' perception of the role of the Messiah is, because it all hinges on that, right? So you go back to the time of Abraham, which helps define the role that the Jews had defined as the Messiah. And what we know about Abraham is that he's the king of the Jews. He's also considered the king of faith, right? As a result, his faith and obedience, which were traits that were extremely pleasing to God, were really pretty much the reasons that God had placed many blessings upon Abraham and his descendants. The primary blessing that was passed on to Abraham was the fact that Jesus is, in fact, that the Messiah would come from the lineage of Abraham's descendants. Further, there were three other blessings that were really critical in terms of the manner in which the Jews had defined the role of the Messiah. And these blessings are that the land of Canaan would be passed on to the Jews, to the descendants of Abraham, the Jews, i.e. the promised land. This land of Canaan, Israel, would become a great nation. And that thirdly, that this great nation would be given a great king. So in essence, the manner in which the Jews had formed their impression in terms of the role that the Messiah would play would be that a king that would rule over Israel and finally bring peace to the Jewish people, a peace that hadn't existed for their 1,500 years of existence in Israel. So you could then go back to Palm Sunday and go 5 days forward and ask the question again, why did the Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah? Why have they rejected Jesus as the Messiah? And the reason is that 5 days later, Jesus died on the cross. It's hard to have a dead king, right? So this rejection, though, was pretty problematic for Jesus, right? Because knowing that the only group of people, i.e. the Jews, that were following the coming of a Messiah, that were anticipating the coming of a Messiah, ultimately rejected the Messiah. So this potentially placed some risk on the spreading of the gospel, right? So why would any Gentile accept Jesus as the Messiah if the sole group that's been paying attention to the coming of the Messiah for 1,500 years ultimately rejected the Messiah? Right, so Jesus, understanding this problematic nature, needed to clarify the role of the Messiah, and he would do that through the Passover before he was sacrificed. Well, why did he have to clarify the role of the Messiah with his disciples? Well, the disciples would be the first group of people that would be spreading the word of the gospel, and as such, it would be extremely important that he clarify the role with the disciples, otherwise they would be just as confused as the rest of the Jewish people. And the disciples at this point believed exactly what all other Jewish people believed the role of the Messiah to be. And why would Jesus do this over the Passover celebration? Because the Passover carries with it the critical role or message that the Messiah would play, right? So how is that? We're going to jump into a little bit of history on the Passover before we head to the upper room. And the Passover is actually the longest continuously celebrated holiday on the face of this earth. It's been celebrated by the Jewish people for 3,500 consecutive years. And what the Passover is it commemorates the time or the freedom of the Jews from 430 years of slavery in Egypt and their exodus from Egypt, events that are triggered by the 10th plague, which is the slaying of the firstborn Egyptian child. And as such, because of these miraculous events that were driven through God, God had called the Jewish people to remember the Passover through a celebration on an annual basis. Now, this wasn't an option. This is a command. And at this Passover celebration, there'd be sort of three primary objectives that would be born from the celebration. One is that the Jewish people were to retell the story as a way to remember the Passover. Secondly, it would be a time where the Jews would begin to anticipate the coming of the Messiah, which was really important for God to have the Jewish people do, is anticipate the coming of the Messiah. This is really, really important, the most significant thing, you know, throughout the Old Testament. And then thirdly, through the retelling of the Passover story, would come with it the role that the Messiah would play through a foreshadowing. So what is in the foreshadowing was the very reason, and the telling of the story is the very reason why Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover with the disciples, because he would leverage off this foreshadowing to clarify the role of the Messiah where all this confusion existed. So what is the foreshadowing? Well, the foreshadowing goes like this, right? It's related to the 10th plague, which is the slaying of the firstborn Egyptian. Well, God didn't want, and that was going to be the trigger point by which Pharaoh would ultimately free the Jewish people from Egypt. So, but God didn't want the slaying of the firstborn to take place to the Jewish families, so he would protect the Jewish families. And how would we protect the Jewish families? Well, there's a series of events that he called the Jewish families to do, starting with taking a lamb into their house. Not any lamb, but the best lamb in their flock, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without defect. And they were to take it into their household for a period of 4 days. And during those 4 days' time, that they needed to make sure that it truly was without defect. They would become attached to the lamb. And on this fourth day, the whole family would be called to sacrifice and kill the lamb, this innocent lamb. And they would take the blood from the lamb and that they would spread it over the doorpost of their households. And that night when the angel of death came through town, the angel of death would slay the firstborn Egyptian children and he would pass over the Jewish households and the Jewish children would be freed from death. So the foreshadowing goes like this then, right? So it's the body and the blood of an innocent lamb that acted as a substitutionary death for the freedom of death of the firstborn Jewish child. Well, the Messiah would play the exact same role. That was the purpose of this foreshadowing, i.e. the Messiah, the body and the blood of a Messiah would act as a substitutionary death, not just for the freedom of death from the firstborn Jewish children, but the freedom of death for all mankind. So at this point, did the Jewish people, or throughout this 1,500 years of celebration, did the Jewish people understand or see this foreshadowing as far as the role of the Messiah goes? The answer is no. And why didn't they see this? Because they were stuck on the role of the Messiah being king on earth, ruling over Israel. Despite that, though, God still commanded that the Jewish people celebrate the Passover on an annual basis. And why was that so important for God to push that command on the Jewish people? Because it was critically important that this message be preserved and carry forward, the critical message of the role of the Messiah be preserved and carry forward until the time that the Messiah actually arrived. Right? So the Jews faithfully did that. So to sum up, you know, really sort of give you sort of a checkpoint here, I want to make sure that we're set before we hit the upper room. But what do we know right now? We know that on Palm Sunday, the Jews believed that Jesus was the Messiah. 5 days later, they rejected him because of this missed expectation that I just shared with you. Jesus understood the problematic nature of this rejection because it could potentially place risk on the spreading of the gospel. Jesus wanted to clarify the role of the Messiah, so he would take him to the upper room and use the Passover meal as a way to clarify this role, right? Because the Passover carries with it this message of the role of the Messiah. So now we're here at the upper room, right? So which is 4 days after Palm Sunday. And what's going on? So Jesus calls his disciples to make preparations for the Passover celebration. And what would the disciples bring to the Passover table? The same exact elements that have been brought to the Passover table for the last 1,500 years. Nothing would change. And those elements are the food items of bitter herbs, unleavened bread, a roasted lamb, and wine. But not any kind of wine, but red wine. And what's important about the food elements? Well, it's through the food elements that the Jews remember the Passover. They retell the story through the food elements at the table. That's how they remember the Passover. And what do I mean by that? Well, the bitter herbs was a way for the Jewish people to remember the bitterness of slavery. The unleavened bread was the way for the Jews to remember the haste with which they had to exit Egypt. They didn't have time to put leaven into the bread and wait for the bread to rise. The roasted lamb and red wine, the central pieces of the Passover table, were used to remember the 10th plague, the critical role that the body and blood that the roasted lamb played in causing their freedom from Egypt. So now Jesus sits down with his disciples to have this Passover supper. And they celebrate it, and they remember it exactly as I just shared with you. I mean, all throughout supper, partaking of the food, retelling of the story. But we get to an extremely pivotal point at this juncture, right? And something that, again, if there's anything that you remember aside from my Kohl's new outfit, I want you to remember this. This moment in time after supper is a huge pivot point. Huge, huge pivot point. It's really the handoff of Old Testament to New Testament at this point. And what happens after supper is this, right? Jesus takes a piece of bread. What kind of bread? Unleavened bread, right? And takes it and declares that this unleavened bread should be taken as a remembrance of Jesus' body. He then subsequently picks up a cup of wine and declares that this cup of wine is the New Testament, not in the Old Testament lamb, but in Jesus' body. It would be Jesus' blood from this cup of wine. So what has just taken place at this juncture? Well, Jesus made a declaration that the unleavened bread and the wine, his body and blood, would take the place of the roasted lamb at the table, at the Jewish Passover celebration. So what would have to happen for Jesus to take the place of the roasted lamb and the lamb's blood? Well, He would have to be sacrificed, and he would have to act as a substitutionary death, just as the roasted lamb did, and free man from death. Did that take place? It absolutely did. The very following day, Jesus fulfilled the foreshadow of the Messiah and realized the critical role of the Messiah that following day. So at this point in time, did the disciples fully understand, were they now crystal clear on the role or critical role of the Messiah? Probably not, but remember, the following day they would be witness to Jesus' sacrifice. 3 days later, they would be witness to his resurrection. They heard the declaration made by Jesus in the upper room. They'd have all the pieces that they could now connect the dots and fully understand the role of the Messiah and effectively begin to spread the gospel. So relative to the remembering of the Messiah's role from that point forward, how is it remembered from that point forward, from the time that Jesus was sacrificed? It's through the taking of communion, right? The New Testament Passover, right? The handoff, the baton has been handed off. So what about the Old Testament Passover? Well, it became obsolete at that point. Not irrelevant, but obsolete. Why did it become obsolete? Because it had served its purpose. It preserved and carried forward the critical message of the role of the Messiah at the time that the Messiah had came. No longer necessary to remember the Old Testament Passover. So I can end the talk right here, but there's probably an elephant in the room question, which is, so if the Old Testament Passover is now obsolete, how do the Jews celebrate the Passover? How will they celebrate the Passover on April 22nd, the first night? Well, the answer is the same way that they've celebrated it primarily over the last 3,500 years. They'll continue to retell the story, remembering the times of Egypt, remembering their exodus from Egypt, and they'll continue to be looking forward to a coming of a Messiah because they haven't accepted any of this. So then the question is, well, if we're now only supposed to remember the Passover through the New Testament Passover, through communion, through the body and blood of Jesus, who is the Messiah, has God just simply lost control of this holiday? Well, there has been some changes to the Passover table that took place after Jesus' death. The most notable change, you know, again, I mean, I could probably spend the next hour as people who've had my study, Bible study class. I only got a couple of minutes here. But there are major changes, and the most notable changes is that there's no longer a roasted lamb at the Jewish Passover celebration. What happened to this roasted lamb? Well, 40 years after Jesus was crucified in 70 AD, the Romans came to Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. And with the destruction of the temple, that's where the sacrificial system took place. And without a temple and without a sacrificial system, there could be no roasted lamb, right? So and to this very day, that temple is destroyed. And the Jews would love nothing more than to have a roasted lamb at the table, but not possible for other reasons. So what did the rabbis do in order to be able to continue to have this Passover celebration? They made a change. And the change that they made is that they substituted the roasted lamb with another food item. Can you guess what that food item is? And it's not a Jewel rotisserie chicken. So it's not that. It's unleavened bread. So the rabbis coincidentally have replaced the roasted lamb with unleavened bread, precisely the change that Jesus made in the upper room. Right, and then right after that, to add to the coincidence, the rabbis are now saying that after you take this piece of unleavened bread, you are to partake in a cup of wine. And then thirdly, to further add to the coincidence, the timing of when this all takes place, right? It takes place after supper. So as you can see, the Jews, although the Jews' thoughts are still with the Old Testament Passover lamb, their actions point directly to Jesus, just as God intended. So I ask again, has God lost control of this celebration? Well, or is this just a fanciful way to Christianize the Passover celebration? So one last thought here, and that is that this change that has been made to the Passover table that I just described to you by the rabbis has a name. And that name is called the Afikomen. It's taken of Afikomen. And the irony of Afikomen is that it happens to be the only Greek word in the Passover service book. What does this Greek word mean? It means he came. So I'm going to close with the question that I started with. Palm Sunday, why all the excitement? the Messiah, he came, and his name is Jesus.